Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans. We're going to deviate a little bit tonight out of our normal study, but the book of Romans, I think one of the greatest chapters of all the Bible is found in this book that we have that's called the book of Romans, as Paul wrote to these Roman believers. He gives to us in these first chapters, and really all the way through the book of Romans, he gives us so many doctrinal things that we can abide by, and things that encourage the child of God and can help us. And of all the chapters in the book of Romans, I believe chapter 8, especially in my study, is that special chapter that gives us so many truths, so many things that would help us in our personal walk with the Lord. It starts out on a high note and it ends on even a higher note. And there are many great things in these 39 verses of this chapter. Verse number 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's a pretty high note to start upon. There is therefore, and that next word there is now. Present tense, right now, there is no condemnation upon those of us that have been saved, those of us that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. We've been set free. And in the next verses, he goes and proclaims the freedom that we have in Christ. Tonight, I want us to read the last few verses of the chapter. And it certainly does end on a higher note. And where it starts in verse number 1, we'll begin in verse number 28, that great verse there that we all can quote and know. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, and we'll read through the remainder of the chapter. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is given at the even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We could stop reading there, say amen, and could go home, and our heart would be blessed by the words of these verses from the Apostle Paul. He gives us some things here that are very, very important to the child of God. He tells us here in verse number 31, this is sort of the text verse that I want us to get our thought from tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? If our Lord that has done all those things for us that are mentioned in verse 28, 29, and 30, if all those things the Lord has blessed us with, then who can be against us? what can be moved against us that would defeat us, as much as the devil desires to and as much as the devil wants to defeat us, he cannot do that because we are the elect of the Lord. Some people are scared to death of that word, but we are the elect of God. We've been chosen of the Lord, and we have taken our position as in Christ because of what he did for us upon Calvary. And we, coming to know the Lord, didn't take him by surprise. He knew exactly all the things that was going to happen. He takes care of all that. And so if we have the blessings of that, then if God's for us, we know he is, then who or what, in whatever situation, can be against us? It will not prosper. It will not go forward. And so tonight he says in verse number 28 that all things work together for our good. If God be for us, who can be against us? He tells us in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God knew me beforehand, and he has determined by predestination that one day I'm going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to see him as he is. My body's going to be changed, and we're going to be not only a new creature in Christ here, but we're going to be changed when we get there. And as a believer, as a Christian, I have been predestinated that one day I will stand before him as complete and whole and just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Then also he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, if he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, then the Scripture says here that he has called us. And so we have a holy calling, the Scripture says, and therefore if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he says here, and them he also, and whom he called, them he also justified. Justification is that legal action that is placed upon an individual. When they come to know Jesus Christ, when they get saved, they are justified. They are cleansed from their sin, and legally speaking, they are forgiven, they're pardoned, and no more will sin ever be held against them. They've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so who can be against us? All these things are for us, and all the things that God has promised us here is for us. So it's an impossibility that the devil could come against us to defeat us in the totality. And then it says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, glorification to you and I has not happened yet. We are glorified when we enter into heaven. That's when we are going to be conformed to his image. That's when we're going to be just like the Lord. We're glorified. We are just like Jesus Christ. But you'll notice here when Paul writes that, he writes it as in the past tense. It's as if it has already happened. I can rest assured upon the authority of the Word of God, if you've been saved tonight, one of these days you're going to be glorified. One of these days you're going to stand before the Lord, perfect and pure and whole. And he has glorified us in the mind of God. We are already glorified. And one day through experience and through life and death, when we enter into glory, then we will be by that action, we will be glorified in the Lord. So I'll tell you what, we as a Christian, we have a lot going for us. Sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we sort of put it on the back burner and say, well, I'm having a hard time, and this is going wrong, and this is going bad, and I can't get this to work, and this is not right, and it seems as though everything's flying apart. Well, I'm glad who can be against us if God's for us. And he has given us here these things to show to us that we have a great future. As a Christian, as a believer, I'm glad I can say I have a good future. I don't know what tomorrow may hold. I don't know what next year may hold. I don't know what troubles may come upon our lives physically or whatever other reason or other way that something might come to defeat and to tear us down. But I know one thing. One of these days, I'm going to be glorified. I'm predestinated to stand before him just like him, and that is glorification. We have an enemy. We know his name. His name is Satan. He's the devil. He's that wicked one. He's that deceiver. He's that liar. He's that one that comes at us every direction from every way to try to defeat us as our enemy. We have sin in our flesh. We are sinful people. We are people that have not been completely, we have not been ratified of our sin. We're still sinners. That's why we go to the Lord and have forgiveness continually, because we falter and fail every day of our life. But that enemy of Satan, that enemy of sin, that old enemy of our self, tries to defeat us. But if God's for us, you can rest assured that that's not going to win over us. And then, of course, our society, we know that it is foreign. It is a witness against us. It is society does not like Christianity, does not like the Lord. Now, society doesn't mind religion too bad. Religion of Jesus' days was accepted. That wasn't too much of a problem as far as religion. But when it come down to who Jesus was, then there became a problem, because he's always the dividing point. Jesus is always that divider. He came that men and women, boys and girls might hear, but he also came, and the Bible says he came to divide the sheep from the goat, and he is that dividing element. So our society is not for us. Our flesh is not for us. Our sin, our individual lives, it's not working for us. And definitely Satan is not working for us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And so the enemy is there. The enemy is to defeat us and to defy God and try to destroy us as a Christian. And he engages us many different ways that we would falter and fail. The Scripture gives you three main ways of falling into to sin, and we're all guilty of it. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Every sin in my life, every sin in your life will fall under one of those three categories. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or just the pride of life will bring us to a point of defeat and not following the Lord Jesus Christ. But even at that, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so tonight I want us to look at some things that the Almighty, all-sufficient God has done for us that cannot be overtaken, overshadowed, and he will get the victory. We have, as a Christian, we will suffer a defeat. As a Christian, we will suffer as a Christian, we will fail. And a lot of people say, well, I just don't think I can live up to being what the Bible says a Christian ought to be. None of us can live up to that. We can't hit that high standard, but thank God he is for us, he is with us, and he will help us. And when we falter and fail, he will forgive us because of what Christ did upon Calvary and us believing him. And so tonight let's look at this God and how he is for us and what he has given to us that we might have victory in our life. First of all, God gave us his Son. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. God gave his Son. Here the Bible tells us that even in our verses that we read tonight, he that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There, verse number 32. And so he spared not his Son. He gave us his only begotten Son. And that word begotten means unique, only one like him. Never been anybody like Jesus Christ. Never was anybody prophesied like the Lord. Never was anybody provided by the Lord. He was given to us in a virgin birth. Has anybody ever lived and proclaimed truth as Jesus did? Never has anybody done what the Lord has done. And so he gave us his Son so that Satan could really not have victory over us. Satan is already defeated. He don't want to admit that, but he knows the rest of the story like we do. And we study in the Revelation, you'll find that at the end of the time of his time, he realizes, the Scripture says he realizes his time is short, and he moves aggressively against this society and this world, and especially against God's people, the Jew, and God's people, the Christian, because he knows his time is short, and he has little time left. And the reason that he does that is because he tries to defeat. But we have the Son of God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan knows that he is defeated. He said there and back in the Garden of Eden, chapter 3, when 2 and 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, in Genesis 3:15, God says, "All right, Satan, you've sinned, you've bruised the heel of the son, of the seed, but that seed's going to bruise your head." And that was a death sentence upon Satan right then. That head, that wound was a wounding unto death. He's going to end one of these days. He's going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and forever. So God gave us his son that Satan could not and would never be able to defeat us totally. He tries to do many things against us, but Satan is defeated. He is a defeated foe, and we must realize that he tries to demonstrate his power, but his power is limited only to what God has permitted him to do. The only all-powerful person is the God of heaven. Satan is powerful, but God's all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. You can be here or you can be halfway around the world in the Philippine Islands. The same God's with us all the time. Satan can't do that. He's not omnipresent. Satan only works through his demons and those that fail with him, those that rebelled against the Lord. But God gave us his Son so that he would not have victory over us. And we have the Son of God. God has declared his lordship over us. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am his and he is mine. He's my Lord, therefore he's my master and he's my king. And one of these days, he's my coming Savior. And until then, I'm to be his servant, to live with him and to live for him until everything's all said and done. And I believe that's coming very soon. I believe she's about ready to tick the last tick of the clock for you and I. I believe one of these days, before very long, we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and we're going to hear the words, "Come up hither." And there's not going to be time to pack bags, say goodbye, and all that stuff we sing about, and we're not going to be able to go through the stars waving back to everybody. We're going to be instantaneously with the Lord. And one of these days soon, I believe we'll have that victory. And that's when verse number 30 will be taken and given to us in totality. That's when we will be glorified with the Lord. So God has given us his Son. What a great gift the Son of God is to you and I. And God did that Satan would be defeated. Not only did he give us his Son, but he gave us his Son for a reason. He gave us his Son so that we might have salvation. Very simple thoughts tonight, just that we might be able to be saved. Notice a while ago I said our enemies are Satan and sin and self and society. Well, God has defeated all those things. He gave us his Son to defeat Satan. He has given us salvation so that my sin could not be held against me. We are sinners. Thank God, saved sinners. Only difference between you and I and out here in the world that doing all the things that they do is the grace of God. That's the only difference. We're all sinners. We're all, we don't deserve the grace of the Lord, but by his mercy, he offered to us salvation one day. We accepted that, and now I have salvation, and sin will not reign in this body. One of these days, I'll stand before him glorified. He gave us salvation. I'm free from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Read in the Old Testament. Read the law that the Jew had to live by. The scripture says, "The man that sinneth shall what? Die." The penalty of sin is a payment, and that payment is dying. We all come short of the glory of God. And one of these days, we're going to have to stand before the Lord. And so we have been freed from the penalty of sin. We will not, do not, shall not die that second death as a believer. We're going to live forever. We're going to have eternity as our home. And salvation is given that my sin could not be against me. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? He tells us there in verse number 31, if God be for us, and that word who is a personal word about a person. Who can be against us? Well, Satan cannot. And then he begins to list some things there in these next verses, verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a personal application there. Who? And then he begins to list some things. He doesn't list people. He doesn't list personalities. He takes care of that right there. Who can be against us? And then he begins to list these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Those are things that come against us. So it's not only who can come against us, but what can come against us. And so he has given us his son that the who is taken care of. The devil has been defeated. He gave us salvation that the things can be taken care of in our life, that we can have salvation freed from the penalty of sin, one day freed from the power of sin. No longer will it have power over me. No longer will it be able to sin, to tempt me and to go off the wrong direction and do things I should not do. We're freed from that power. We're freed from the very one day the presence of sin will not be around us ever again. Thank the Lord tonight for salvation so that I can say, if God be for me, who can be against me? We have the Son, we have the salvation, and thirdly, tonight, we find that God gave His Spirit to indwell us. That takes care of what? That takes care of self. I now have someone living inside me, and He's called, He is identified as the Holy Spirit. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Jesus said, if I go away, I will send you another comforter. I believe that's in John chapter 10. He says, when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he says, he is identified as the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit of God that lives in my heart and lives in your heart, he will never lead us into paths of unrighteousness. It's always according to truth. So if someone comes to you and they've got this wild idea and wild doctrine, and they say, well, the Spirit of God told me this, they better try the Spirit because he never goes against this book here. He never goes, the Holy Spirit never goes against the book that he inspired men to write, to sit down and to take the quill or the pen and to write the words of the Word of God. We believe in the literal inspiration of the Scriptures, that God spake, and holy men of old, and they listened to God, and they wrote exactly what God told them to write. And it's not mechanical dictation like God uses their personality as who they are. You can read the book of Jeremiah, and you know you're not reading the book of Joshua. You read the book of Daniel, you know you're not reading somebody else that's a prophet, because God uses their personality for who they were, but yet he used them to pin down the words of the prophecies of old, and therefore we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us as a believer. As a New Testament Christian, we have the Spirit of God that lives within us, that self cannot, will not defeat me. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's given me his Son, he's given me his salvation, and he has given unto me his Holy Spirit. He dwells in my heart. We live in a particular area of vicinity where there's a lot of people that they talk about second and third and fourth blessings, and receiving the Holy Spirit and doing certain things after they receive the Holy Spirit. Well, my Bible tells me that when I got saved, I received the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, the Spirit of God came into my life. He came there to dwell, to stay there. And so this Holy Spirit helps me with the desires of my flesh that are against God. Now, it's according to how much I let Him dictate to me how much I live for the Lord. It's according to how much I'm willing to say, yes, I'll follow what the Spirit of God guides me and directs me. And God has given us His Spirit that our fleshly desires might not overtake us. And it's to deal with our defeats that we have, because we will falter, we will fail, we do sin, and we do stumble sometimes and fall flat on our face. I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives in my heart to help me with my defeats. He picks me up. He strengthens me. He takes care of me. And sometimes we get weary in well-doing. The Holy Spirit sort of comes along, prods us along, gives us some more energy. Sometimes we get down on people. We get down on self. We get down on society. We just look at things. Sometimes it's good just not to turn on the news, because you're not going to hear anything that's going to uplift you. You're not going to hear anything that helps you. And so sometimes it's good just not to turn that thing on. Just maybe read the Word of God and something like Romans 8. And that's uplifting. That's helpful to know that God has already won the victory. And God has given us His Son. And God has given us His Word. And God has given us His salvation. God has given us His Holy Spirit to help me with everything that comes my way and everything that falls on me. This Holy Spirit helps me to demonstrate who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit helps me to demonstrate to a world that I believe God, that I trust the Lord, that I'm a Christian, that I'm a believer. You can't do that in the flesh. Oh, you may for a while, but after a while the flesh gets tired. But when you do things in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, He will help us to continue on. This Holy Spirit helps me to deal with every facet of life, every decision that I have to make, every decision that you have to make. I believe it's very important that we let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and direct us in which way to go. Sometimes it's like coming to a fork in the road and we don't know the direction. It's something like we're on a pathway, and all of a sudden we come to a place and we can do this, or we can do this, or we can do this, or we can do this. Which way is right? Which way is the way that I need to go? There's no signs up there that tells you. There's no pointers that say this is where you ought to be and this is the end result of your decision. And whatever it might be, we can take it to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit can guide us and to direct us. I have said most of my life that when I wasn't sure of what to do, I just don't do. Because when I do, it's usually wrong. If I'm not sure of what I need to take care of, then just let it stay there for a while, as hard as that is sometimes. Sometimes you say, well, I'm just going to do this. And you're not sure that's right. Well, if I do this and it's not right, what's the end result? Sometimes it's tragic. Well, I think I'll go over here and I'll do it this way. And you're not sure about that. Well, I'll take this direction. I'll do this other thing. And we're just confused. Well, the one that lives in my heart is not confused. The one that lives inside of me, He knows exactly where I need to be. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Even my own thoughts, my own ways. And so we find here that God has done all these things that we might realize that one of these days we're going to be glorified with Him. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? So we have the Son, we have salvation, we have the Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty good three things to have. Have the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He died for us. That death on the cross offered to a world, a generation after generation, a world of people, this thing we call being saved. And we've been born again by His Spirit now that lives inside of us. Nothing any greater than those three things for the believer. But when I realize the Son of God came to save me, when I accept Him and I'm saved, and I understand the Holy Spirit's in my heart, then I also understand, and this is one of the things that really is important for us to understand and to know, is that we are now the child or the son of God. The sonship, that takes care of my society. I was listening to somebody talk, I forget now who it was or even where I was, it was just a day or so back. They was talking about certain people they get around and just almost immediately they are attacked because they know they're Christians. That's our society. There are some people that if they know you're a Christian, they're going to do everything they can do to upend you and to turn you over and to aggravate you and give a problem and make you mad and stir you up. That's just the way of the devil. Well, as a child of God, as a Christian, He has given us His sonship. We now belong to Him. That takes care of society that comes against me, that I can deal with that because He has given me a seal. The Bible says we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, when you're sealed, that means it's taken care of. You seal an envelope, that means it's closed. If you open it, you tear it. I've seen very few that you could open that did not tear after it was sealed. The seal that the Lord is talking about is sort of like a seal that makes an impression. In the Old Testament, they called it a signet. A lot of the kings would wear a signet ring. It was a ring that had their emblem on it, and the parchments that they would write the laws on, they would take that ring and they would push it into that parchment, and it would leave an impression called a seal. This church, our church school, we have a church seal on all of our diplomas. The signature is not enough. It has to have a seal. And so I sign the diplomas, and then I take that seal and I push it on that paper, and it leaves an impression there. You know what? There's no way of getting rid of that seal. I've tried. You can't push it back. You can't rub it out because it still is there. You might not can read it, but you can tell there's a circle there that has words in it. It's called the seal of Grace Baptist Church. And so the Bible says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. What day is that? When we stand before the Lord. I was redeemed a certain time, a certain day, certain month, certain year, certain church. I was redeemed, saved then in my experience. But my total redemption will be when I stand before Him, glorified in the Lord. And then we can understand nobody, nothing can be against us. And so we have a seal of protection. The Lord protects His own. I've heard lots of stories of how people were detained in certain ways, and if they had not have been, they might have been right where the wreck would have taken place. I've heard other stories of how different occurrences would take place, and it kept them safe and kept them secure. And a lot of stories from missionaries that can tell you how the Lord helps them. That's that protection God gives to His people. I'm glad tonight for His protection. If the Lord was to remove His seal of protection from us, we wouldn't make it out the door tonight. The devil's waiting. He's lurking. He's in the shadows. He's in the background. He's in the far corners, and he's waiting. But thank God we have the protection of the Lord. That takes care of my enemies. I have a seal of provision. The Lord says He'll always take care of my need. Doesn't always take care of the way maybe we think He will, but He takes care of what we need. He gives us life and breath and health and strength and provisions His our needs. He gives us a way of production. That's our fruit. We are to bear fruit unto the Lord. We're to be busy in the work of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are a child of the King. We belong to Him. So therefore, we're to do as He asks us to do. He has given us a seal of preservation. There's a big debate going on in the religious circles about that word preservation. Well, I believe we've been preserved by the grace of God. I believe He has taken us, and the day we got saved, we have been preserved until the day of redemption. He's going to help us. I don't believe He can lose it. I don't believe He can give it away. I don't believe He can throw it away. I believe what we have is eternal. It's everlasting life. And we have been preserved. That's for His purity in our lives. We have the seal of power. We have the seal of understanding certain prophecies of the Word of God. That's our future. All these things the Lord has given to us because we are His children. It's called sonship. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Every child of God can go to the Lord Himself as a priest and lay out our sins, lay out our petitions, and we can cry to God. We don't have to have an earthly priest. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And as a believer, as a son, as a child, as a Christian, I have that ability, I have that right to go to the Lord and say, "Dear God, this is what I need. This is what I have to have. Dear Lord, would you help me?" Why? Because he's there willing to help us. He wants us. He says, "You have not because what? You ask not." And then he says, sometimes when you ask amiss. You ask wrong and wrong ways and for wrong things. But the Lord said, and according to his will, he will give us all those things that we have need of. Why? Because we are his. So he's given us all these things to defeat our enemy. The enemy of Satan, we have the Son. The enemy of sin, we have salvation. The enemy of self, I have the Holy Spirit. And the enemy of society, I am a son of God. I'm in a different kingdom. I see things different. We call it a world view. We look at the world differently than a lost person does. We look at occurrences and happenings. The world says, "Well, that just happened. What a terrible tragedy. What a thing. What an accident." And we can look at it and see the hand of God and say, we know the Lord is in control. We're looking at it through different eyes. They're called saved eyes. Believers, Christians, we are the children of God. So I have a sonship that takes care of the society in which I live. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God really is for me, and he's given me all these things, who can be against us? Let's read those things once again. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Foreknowledge is just what it is, knowledge beforehand. So those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. There is a calling that comes to our heart. Romans 8:28 says that we are the called. And so there's a call that comes. And whom he called, he takes care of. The transaction's completed. He justifies us. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I sort of imagine the Apostle Paul writing those things down and writing to the Romans, going through all the struggles that he had. I can just sort of maybe hear Paul give out a shout of glory to the Lord, because the next words he writes, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who shall be against us? These words are victorious words for the child of God. You have to realize Paul was writing something he had never read before. We've read it 100 times. And Paul writes it down, and all of a sudden he realizes, and the Holy Spirit just says, you write this, Paul. If God be for you, who can be against you? What a great thought, what a great blessing that is for you and I tonight to know that God's for us. And if he's for us, the whole world may be against us, but we have victory. We sang the song, Victory in Jesus. Brother, we have victory in Jesus Christ. We sang the song, Faith is the Victory. By faith we come to know the Lord, and that gives us the victory of life. So if God's for us tonight, and he is, who can be against us? I can tell you the answer, no one. All they may be against us, but they're not going to prosper. They're not going to have victory. So may the Lord bless tonight the thoughts of what we have just in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12. Paul takes you to mountaintop experiences of how God takes care of all those things. But I believe Romans chapter 8 probably is the highest mountaintop of all the Bible for the child of God. And I believe it all centers around, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. I pray you have a good week.